And I didn't prepare a speech for that one.
Okay.
I've been a senator for 2.5 years, and I think I'm pretty outspoken in the center. My strengths, I think, are questioning and making sure that the information we're talking about, that the commitments we make, are we actually understand what we're doing and why not. And I have a lot of experience as board chair. Try not to speak to something I'm going to try. So I've been on several boards and seen how boards can function well and how boards can function not so well. And I think I have a tremendous amount of expertise in how to keep boards working and functioning strongly. I also have a very, very strong commitment to collaboration, to consensus building, so that the decisions we make when we do make hard, especially when we make hard decisions, that we're making decisions that people understand why and how and can get on board with. And so I think that's sort of the strength that I bring as a Senate. But I am also in another position which I'll speak to later.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Shiloh.
I too am looking to be a senator at large position. Having gone through the accreditation this past spring and learning a lot more about the campus and how it functions and how it all works together, I mean, it kind of like piqued my interest even more to wanting to work more in the different committees and governing bodies of the campus. I'm still relatively a term of speaking new, but I am a department chair for physical education, so I'm very much a structured white person. I'm in the military, I'm very much about order instruction, and also about following protocol and policies, and I believe having that background and that strength will, I can use that to facilitate that role.
I have a question.
Yes.
What branch of the military?
I was in the Air Force before, so I was in during
Desert. Very good. Hey, any other questions? Okay, well, we're moving quick.
David. I'm going to keep this short, but I'm just asking for your support to continue doing what I've been doing on the Senate. I look at this place, and I've been in a lot of environments where the ability for people to actually sit down and have reasonable, rational discussions has been insanely crazy not happening. And I would like to applaud Davis body and Pierce as a whole for the fact that this is a lot different, and I'm hoping to get a chance to continue doing that. Obviously, my strengths are in technology, and hopefully I can continue to bring insights into those into this committee. But I also want to bring certain things like both of you have talked about, although being very structured is exactly opposite of my nature. That ain't me. But anyway, thank you for your support. Thank you.
Okay. I want to thank you, David, for the resolution that John's going to take to the state.
Oh, and I want to thank John for having me. He's got some comments and insights, and I think are a really good idea.
Yeah. Question. I understand there's three positions and three people run.
That's correct.
Unusual.
Yeah. Okay. So, should we do the part-time folks?
Yeah.
Blanca is not here. I didn't see her. And so I don't know. I didn't hear from
Amy's
her.
Amy's teaching.
She is. I know Amy's teaching. I got an email from Amy, and I have a statement from Amy to read. Okay. So Kathy.
Okay. a lot of you already know me. I'm Kathy Hollins. I've been on the I'm in Ashland Office Center for a number of years now. I'm running for re-election. And I know most of you will not be able to vote for me because you're full time. But tell your part timers to mark their ballots. What I've done on the Senate since I've been on the Senate is. Especially I'm still kind of proud of it, is the, oh God, my mind just left me. I've been working on my computer all morning on other issues. Is the academic rank for part-timers. And so if you wind up on the seniority list, you can qualify for an academic rank, and so you can be the adjunct assistant professor. And that was something I did like the first year that I was on the Senate. Since then, I've been encouraging adjuncts to serve on academic Senate committees, and a lot of us do. I, for one, serve on the Professional Development Committee. I also serve on as recording secretary for the adjunct caucus and the statewide academic Senate. And so we have a caucus. So I'm getting involved with the statewide issues at the statewide level, and I'm learning a lot about how to write a resolution and putting it into the academic Senate world in local meetings and so on. So that's very exciting for me to be involved with that. I just got reelected to that position earlier this month. What else? I love being a thorn in Tom's side. and keeping them on pace, as some of you know, I keep them on pace on the agenda. And I don't know what else to say.
You're on something else statewide. What is it? You're active with what?
I'm active with FAC, the Faculty Association of California Community Colleges. I've been on that board for 8 years. I'm up for re-election this year as a part-time executive officer. I'm running unopposed in that position, so I'm going to have another 2-year term on that. And so, yeah, I love working on statewide issues, as you can tell. So, and I think that's, and you know I'm involved in the union, but that's another half hour's worth of story.
Any questions for Kathy? Okay. Is Michelle here?
I'm Michelle Meyer. I'm very involved at the Department of Physics and Sensory Science, so it would be easier for me to do my speech because that way you might get a better idea of why I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and I want to become involved more on the campus issue. So I apologize if the speech is coming rather formal, but what I thought was appropriate for today's agenda. I believe in the mission statement and goals at Fine Tiers College, and along with all the instructors, my objective is to impart upon my students a comprehensive curriculum that prepares them for transfer to university. I'm completing my 10th year at the adjunct department of physics and planetary sciences in 2007. Thanks to Kathy, I was advanced in rank as an adjunct professor. In 2004, I had the opportunity to introduce a class called Physics 66, which is physics for life science majors. This is a 2-year curriculum that is for pre-med, pre-dental major students that typically go to the UC. Now, never my students off from out of state. This was a curriculum that Bill Decker had been trying to push for a number of years, but had seen it fail in 2004 when I offered it. It went off with great success, and I'm very, very proud of that one curriculum that my students take. I'm an ardent believer in the use of advanced technologies. Thanks to David and Bill, Bob Martinez. I use smart boards all the time as a teaching tool, and I'm also abreast on top of the field of physics, chemistry, and biology. In part of my lectures to evolve over year after year, I need to be like my students. In addition to my teaching responsibilities, I also wear a hat such as a life coach. A number of my students are English language learners who are coming in from different types of backgrounds, and even a college community can be rather stressful. So what I try to do is instill in my classes as a life coach is to infuse in my students a philosophy that emphasizes collaborative teamwork and mutual respect. These are particular personal traits that you really don't see carried on in the field of science. Pretty much science instructors are pretty kind of abstract. So I try to go ahead and bring on whole life attitudes in terms of teaching. As an elected adjunct senator, my goal is to become involved with student success by working in collaboration with the Academic Counseling Center and the Student Success Community. This is something I've had conversations with John, and it seems to be that, in part, where it seems to be my greatest motivation of conversations with John at our department meeting, looking for a healthier approach for my students to go ahead and my work curriculum. Ultimately, I would like to go ahead and establish with the team a semester by semester path that provides students of all disciplines with a sensible academic load while working towards completing their classes for transfer. In part, the students that I see are the students that I stand being pre-med or pre-dental taking organic chemistry or calculus, as well as my 9-hour physics class. It is an unbelievably stressful load for these students, and if I have the ability to go ahead and start working on the path for a more balanced approach to academics, I would rather see them take my class at a time in which they're not also 9-hour chemistry classes or 6-hour calculus classes. So again, it's a balance to life and a balance to academics, which is what I'm going ahead and getting through these courses with a holistic attitude and coming out of it feeling happy and not being stressed and have to go ahead and make a career. In addition to being an advocate towards student success, I'm also an advocate for the equity of our adjunct professors. I have a personal experience in, with the Center for Sciences in that when the building was developed and planned, no provisions were made for any of the adjunct professors. There were no computers, no printers, no assistance help in the area. Prior to moving into the building, I worked with Bill Bexler and HOT, obviously. We went around between chemistry, life science, and physics, and earmarked computers to be moved into the Center for Sciences on the first day of school. The adjuncts would have the computer that they had the ability to get access to. In addition to it, the adjuncts were not in any kind of a private procedure office space, and I was the lead adjunct who worked with Dizzy and with Kohler and with Shapiro and Bill Bexler, along with Paul Nyman Flexibilities, to take an unused conference room and put it into the CFS adjunct office space. This office space has computers and printers, and more importantly, what came out of the phenomenal benefit is we have the richest set of adjuncts who have this great collaborative teamwork that became the sense of having this private office space. So what came out of it, I think, was something in which the adjuncts have this place where they can go to focus and get the work done and recognize that they're part of the larger community. So in closing, what I would like to say is I'm confident to move forward to participate in shared governance of our amazing campus, and that I'm bringing to this particular Senate my years of teaching as an adjunct, my very ongoing department adjunct representative, and I've also been quite collaboration in terms of developing the grant of the large for some of the courses that I teach, and I feel that just having someone new on the academic senate would be a better sort of thing.
Thank you very much. Okay, Amy couldn't be here, so she sent me a brief statement, which I'll be more than happy to read. In addition to representing adjunct faculty in my department, CAOT, and the Faculty Guild, and at the state level, I'm committed to increasing adjunct opportunities to participate in shared governance. I would like to continue this effort and hope that I can count on your vote for part-time center at large. Thank you. Okay. From Amy. Okay. So, let's see. Joe or Mia, who would like to vote next? Ladies first?
Why not?
People get tired so easily.
We always wonder about each other.
How fun. I'm Joe Perret. I'm running a bonus for the Senate Treasurer position. And I just want to take time to say hello and to thank you for your potential vote. For a quick summary, some of you might not know what all the treasurer does, because in addition to collecting the money and paying the bills, we also get involved in we have the executive committee for the Senate that meets weekly, so we have weekly meetings. And then I'm required to serve as the Senate representative on the budget committee. In addition to that, I maintain the website. So it's a pretty involved job, and I enjoy it a lot, and thank you very much for allowing me to do it again, perhaps.
And I want to say, Joe, you've done a great job on the website.
Thank you.
It really looks good.
Remember the department each row.
Okay, Mia.
So I am looking to fill the position of Senate Secretary, which, given all the work that Anya has done to make the actual taking and execution of the minutes really systematized and streamlined, I have two reasons for my interest. One is the fact that, as you may know, I've spent a couple of years working on accreditation and through that also outcomes. And so I've seen the college from a particular standpoint. But part of that job allowed me a seat at the Senate executive table, which I didn't know at the time. In fact, when I first started, they said, go to this meeting. And I said, okay. And then I got there and I said, why am I here? Is this like the star chamber? What's this all about? So I had the opportunity in that position to learn about what Senate exec does and understand the real responsibility that when you have a seat at that table, you have the whole faculty voice to which you're responsible. So I gained a great appreciation for that. And I see the role of Senate Secretary, even though that person has a voice at the table, as really being the person to help keep everybody organized. So rather than talking, as a voice at the table, I'd like to be listening, taking notes, and learning Senate processes. So that's my main reason for running ultimately. Thank you. Oh, and I won't be doing a presentation anymore, so I won't be joking.
Excuse me. Okay, that was pretty quick. In 15 minutes, we ran through all of the votes except for the three that you've all shown up to listen to. Okay, so do we do alphabetical order? No, Beth doesn't want to go first?
Let's go backwards, Beth.
Go backwards? Okay, so put it aside. So each of you will have your 5 minutes, and then after everybody's spoken, then we'll open it up for questions.
Yeah, and then I think we should rotate through
okay.
We answer questions.
Right. So each person will get a chance to answer whatever question is provided. Okay? So, Mr. Z.
So, everyone listens to who I am. So, this is a thought I take of time, and this is really funny because I'm almost never nervous in this room. For once, I actually am. Yeah, I'm like crazy here. I'm probably doing 8 pounds by the time I'm 5 minutes. So, the reason why I'm interested in running for Senate President is basically because I see in our mission statement, and I'm going to go just like Michelle did, we say we're a student-centered organization. And when we're looking at being a student-centered organization, there's one group of people on this campus, I think, who knows the students the best, and that is all of us that are faculty members, whether we're librarians, counselors, classroom faculty members. We're the ones who interact with the students. We're the ones that get to know them. We know the program. We know the needs. We need to make sure that voice is heard. Now, the way that I've approached this is I actually started way back in deep history 6 years ago when I started at Pierce College. I was hired in to be a geology faculty member in a vacant role for a long time and had to rebuild the geology curriculum. which led to a really fast rise into being a voting member of curriculum, and then being the first established vice chair of curriculum when we realized how much work that had to do. And so from that perspective, I became more and more interested in the processes that we had here at Pierce College. So I then ran for department chair of physics and planetary sciences and was elected, and from there, served for one semester, before I ran for vice president of the academic senate and became chair of chairs. And when I became vice president of the academic senate, it came with a lot of responsibilities because there was actually potential that our senate president was going to retire before the end of his term. So I took every opportunity I could to learn everything that was out there about how academic senate functions, including going to Accreditation Institute. I attended the ASCCC, which is the state academic senate, faculty training, learning processes, I went to state work. I'm about to go to my third plenary this time as a voting rep. And basically, I've learned a bunch of policy. And the thing that I think is really strong about knowing a bunch of policy is that when you come to the table as a Senate leader and you're working with other faculty members and working with administration to drive an institution forward, a working knowledge of the policy behind what's driving our need to make decisions is important because policy can't be used to obscure anything. If you understand the policy at the same level as the administrators who are responsible for the policy, then you can work as being a strong faculty voice. And as president, for some of you guys, and this is kind of a fun one, as president, I would have to actually be much quieter than I am now as vice president, because my job would be to make sure that during the Senate meeting, everyone's voice is heard. Right now, I get to be one of the voices. So again, just to run through this, I've served on every major committee of the Senate to learn how things have gone. I've taken every opportunity that's presented itself, I volunteered for, so that I've worked on PPC, schedule advisement, with everyone on the Senate committees. I've been a member of PPC exec for the last year and a half as well. So I feel that I'm really ready to hit the ground running and take the Senate into our next accreditation visit 2 years from now. That's all the time I need.
Thank you. I'm going to give this because I have no... physical strength is not one of my strong points.
It's your leg.
So weak. Thank you very much, I think. First of all, I'd like to welcome everybody here and thank you for being here. Thank you to Tom, to Jill, my fellow candidates. It's really wonderful to see you all, and it's a really important part of our democratic process. I would like to thank you for this opportunity. As of the end of this academic year, I will have served 2 terms as the Senate Secretary and 2 terms as the Philosophy and Sociology Department Chairperson. So in an effort to take a break from all the politics, I figured I should run for Senate President. Over the years, and more recently as I was thinking about running for this position, I spoke to people on our campus, some of whom have been here for a long time. And what I heard is that in their experiences, community colleges tend to face crises and then go through better times in a somewhat cyclical fashion. Through all the changes, the faculty remains. In my almost 7 years here, we've had 3 different college presidents, UVP, new deans. It is up to us as faculty to remain effective participants in shared governance. Pierce is a unique place. Our collaborative culture and inclusive approach to shared governance has been the key ingredient to our success as a college. When I was first hired, I was focused on teaching and building out my program and department like John. I started the Pierce Sociology Club. I created a new class and updated some old ones. I was elected and re-elected department chair and co-founded the Intercollege Sociology Alliance, which is a coalition of sociology departments from Pierce, Valley, College of the Canyons, and CETA. In fact, our alliance is holding another event this coming Friday. I was planning on being there, but instead I will be attending the ACCJC SLO workshop, so please do not feel sorry for me. We all know there is absolutely nothing more rewarding than spending a day talking about outcomes. Anyway, when I first started, I had little idea of what the Senate, the Union, PCC did, for example. But thanks to the encouragement and mentoring from more senior faculty, I quickly became actively involved, first in the Senate, then Senate exec. As Senate Secretary, I missed only 1 meeting in 5 years, and that was to a conference. Regardless of the position I am serving in, my goal is always to do the best job I can. So as the Secretary, I've always tried to ensure that the primary task I was entrusted with, taking the minutes, was done to the highest standards. to ensure transparency of our processes and to provide a clear record of our activities as a Senate. I've learned a lot from my colleagues, Tom and other people on the Senate, of course, and I have to thank Richard Follett in particular, because not only has he patiently read over my drafts and corrected them for grammar and spelling, and after all, English is my second language, but he also imparted to me the importance of striking a balance to ensure that the minutes remain transparent, but also describe what goes on in the Senate in ways that are respectful to all participants. Things do get heated at Senate meetings sometimes. And being diplomatic is one of the skills I've learned from my service as the Senate Secretary. For a time, I was also a delegate to the Guild Executive Board, and of course this is in addition to serving on other committees. Over the years, I similarly have tried to encourage my colleagues to get involved in leadership roles, so that we can all benefit from the tremendous talent and expertise that we have on this campus. The Senate is one of the key avenues for faculty to get formally involved in shared governance. A strong Senate is one where diverse talents, skills, and perspectives are brought to the table in the spirit of mutual respect and commitment to our shared mission of making Pierce a great place to study and work. As Senate President, I will promote inclusiveness and collegial teamwork so that we continue to be a strong voice on academic and professional matters. Leadership is not force or intimidation. A strong leader is an effective representative of the collective concerns and passions. The Senate President needs to be a unifying voice, inviting diverse voices to the table, able to keep a level head, to stay focused, to represent issues rationally, and to cultivate relationships without alienating people. It is when I heard such sentiments that I decided to run, because I know that these are some of the things that I can't bring to the table. These are the skills that have helped me succeed in various leadership roles I've served in so far, and they are what is needed now, so that we can keep the momentum going through challenges ahead. I want to strengthen our collective legacy of broad participation, and to ensure that when Pierce College is at the table, we are always welcome and listened to. To that end, I ask for your vote, and thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much. Last but not least.
I know what you mean about being nervous. I'm always nervous, and even when I talk, you know, even when I talk to students, I'm always just like, anyway, I try to hide it. So I'm Beth Abels, and I'm the full-time architecture faculty at Pierce College, and I'm here because I want to convince you that I'm also a reasonable candidate. And you know, what's really amazing about this is that I think you guys are, like, we're all really lucky, because these two candidates are fabulous too, really. I mean, I don't think we're going to go wrong no matter what, which is pretty great, right? Especially after that election in November. It's like the stakes were so high. So anyway, I'm still going to make an argument for me, because I have to. We'll see who I vote for at the end of the day. So I believe that effective democracy depends on valuing a diversity of ideas. It means a willingness to disagree and a search for common ground, and I hear that from everybody, which is pretty fabulous, really. So I think this is such a great group of people. We make strong decisions when we're looking at everything and being willing to look at everything on all sides and turn it upside down and take the time to do that. I think, in addition to that, a willingness to listen, a willingness to use problem-solving tools, to have empathy, to practice transparency, and, you know, honest self-reflection, to really look and go, hey, are we doing what we say we're doing? And how, you know, not just this big sell, but, you know, can we really reflect on us meeting our mission, on us meeting our goals? As a senator, in the past 2 years, I think I've made a very strong commitment to keeping faculty voices strong. And all kinds of faculty, not just the faculty that have been in here, but the faculty that I bump into that may never come to a Senate meeting, or never have time, but all kinds of voices, and I think adjunct voices as well. My department actually has, I'm the only full-time faculty, so I bump into adjuncts quite a bit. So having a place, you know, for them to bring their voices is important. And I think that those are the things that strong voice, I agree with John, is what keeps our school so strong, and it's what makes it really make student success happen, that we represent students in ways that have to do with proximity. So what I bring a commitment to strong communication. I'm pretty convinced that communication is probably the number one thing that breaks down and the number one thing that solves problems. And if we can just communicate about stuff, things happen a lot quicker and a lot easier. When everyone's kept in the loop, that makes a big difference. then people can participate. When the people that issues affect know what is going on at all points, then those people can become clear voices, and it gives us a, not just common ground, but it gives us a collective brain, right? And the more brains, wow, you imagine how big our brain can be on this campus when you're able to hear everybody and listen. I value expertise, and I also value collaboration. We have to understand the value of expertise, I think, but also where the buck stops. And so if we can place value on expertise where it comes from and understand that it exists and value it and listen to it, it doesn't always mean we can use it or follow that outcome, but the valuing of it, I think, is vital. And then again, that communication comes in there. So in order to value that expertise, I think we also need to value our community and the culture that our community is. And Beerus has a very unique culture. And I'm not sure I understand it completely. Sometimes I really do, and sometimes I think, wait, what? And it's changed a lot in the 6 years, or 5.5 years that I've been here. It has changed a lot. As people retire and move on, I think our culture changes significantly. I think as faculty, we have to work really hard. And I think we have to take our jobs as senators and as Senate presidents and also as faculty really seriously in order to have our voice mean something. And I think it's easy for us to let that go because we have our teaching to do. And then when we let it go, it's easy for things to get all mired and mixed up. So I think doing the hard work, being willing to share that burden of shared governance is a tough job, even when it's boring, especially when it's boring, right? And there's all kinds of boring jobs to do. But what I bring, I think, is experience and practice of doing hard work, even when it's tedious. And also a respect for time. The people need time to do that hard work, but they also need their time to be respected. They need it to be, you know, not always trotted on and not expanded in ways that people can't necessarily help them with when they want to. I value facilitation, and I expect diverse voices and disagreement. And I think effective democracy requires members to have the courage to not only disagree, but the commitment to value disagreement, to accept it, to wait for it and ask for it. Even if it slows things down, and it does, right? Sometimes that disagreement just makes things take a lot longer. But when we value it, when we accept it, then we can see all sides, and I think it makes us a much more powerful democratic process. So I also think I bring a commitment to process, to seeing that process is what, you know, we look for outcome, but it's that process that gets us there, and valuing that process is a big deal, I think. So I think sometimes that it's slow and deliberate process can be frustrating, but I think we have to respect it. But I think we also need to be able to move when decisively and fast, when we need to move fast and move fast. Okay, so I think I bring a sense of developing clear pathways, that we understand how we get from point A to point B, and a strong institutional memory that we value how we've gotten from point A to point B as much as we value where we're going. It may not, I'm using that word value a lot. It's not, you know, I'm going to have to get my thesaurus out. Anyway. So we need established practices, but we also need to be able to develop new practices. And, you know, I think I bring a commitment to democratic process. I come from a background of consensus building. And the voting structure was really new to me as a board member. I'm used to seeing consensus happen and figuring out how that's going to work. And I'd like to still see that. I understand for the speed, we need to vote quite a bit, but still looking for ways to get that, build that common ground, I think is really important. I think our shared governance, it exemplifies our democracy. I think we're a model. We are really a fabulous model for how the world can be, right? And everybody loves democracy, I think, or maybe it's capitalism. But I think people really want to have a voice, and so I think we could be a pretty great model for that, and I'm hoping that we can help do that. So I think leading Pierce's Academic Senate means supporting diverse views and diverse intentions of the community and looking for common ground, finding solutions that focus on shared vision and building consensus. And finally, what I bring is a problem-solving skill as an architect, as a board member, as a committee member on a million committees. I'm not going to go through that list. But I think I also bring creativity. I bring imagination. I have a pretty good sense of humor, and I think humor is really important in all aspects of life. And I'm good at collaboration, so I hope that I convince you a little bit. But I think no matter what your choice is, you guys are we're in good hands. So, thank you.
Richard, you want to start the question? Okay. I'm going to draw a few minutes in here. Okay. And I was Senate President for a couple of years, decades ago. What do you do when the Senate goes one way and you feel a different way, how do you handle it? You are depressed. Why do you do it?
So you're talking about after the vote or before the vote?
As John pointed out in his talk, as Senate President, you don't speak as much on issues. You let the other voices go. Then it comes to a conclusion. You disagree with the conclusion, but you're not.
I think you really have to trust democracy. And it's because your job is probably more of a facilitator than it is as the person who sets the agenda and tells you how to vote. But I think you have to just, you know, you may disagree, but I my feeling is no matter what, who you are on the board, if you vote in one way, the Senate vote in one way, then you have to support it. But if you have to support it publicly, and you have to figure out how you're going to support it publicly in the first place.
The other two? Yeah, it's a question for all three.
I do think that the Senate president is the representative. Right? I mean, this isn't so much about my personal solutions and views. I mean, of course, we're all educated people, we're all professionals, we're all experts. We all have strong opinions and, you know, can offer solutions to problems. However, this is an elected position where you are the representative of the body, and I think that should be your primary focus.
So I'm going to add a little bit to what both of them said, because, of course, well, I was going to say basically the same thing. But there is an additional responsibility as Senate President, in my opinion, that part of your job is to make sure that your Senate is aware of what is going on statewide, legislatively, district. You're supposed to bring the information back. So as that part of your job, the decision of the Senate should be based in factual information, right? And that's what the whole judge is supposed to be doing. In addition, the decisions that are coming out of there should be based all on all the information that there is.
Joe? Every year, we as a Senate, all of the committees have to put together our goals for the coming year. So I'd like to ask all three candidates what would be their top five goals for next year.
Will you go first? I haven't gone first yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you can be on your feet.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, I sort of don't think it matters what my personal goals would be. Because again, I wouldn't be single-handedly setting goals for the Senate. However, I guess from where I sit, I would say, I mean, our goals are to get to our presentation. Our next presentation visit is coming up. And so we need to find ways to successfully address the recommendations in ways that are conducive to sort of strengthening our structures here. Also communication, I would say. Strengthening communication with various groups so that we can actually invite more voices into the discussion. I think that is really important because honestly, even, as in my position as chair, I've often found that even within my discipline alone, I might have, again, solutions, I might have ideas, but I don't have the perfect understanding. Even within my discipline, I have 3 degrees in sociology, but still my understanding and perception is not perfect. So I need my colleagues to sort of communicate with me, and I have to communicate with them. And so communication would be sort of the second area, I think, we can really improve and invite more diverse voices. And third, I guess it's kind of linked to the second, if we think about our college and sort of how we hire, the ways in which we hire. For many years, we haven't hired anybody, right? And then our office started being hired. But we have a lot of retirement. A lot of people who have played very prominent roles on the campus are retiring. And I would like to ensure that, sort of the culture, again, this collaborative culture of this campus is preserved. This is really emphasized through the Senate. To me, that is very important. It's kind of the key to our democracy and our strength. I agree with you, Beth. It is sort of it is the key ingredient that makes us successful. And we have to really work on promoting this, being inclusive, being open, being transparent, and invite diversity.
Okay, so for me, the first two goals that I would say the Senate should take on come directly from our exit interview with the creditors. We have to strengthen our outcomes to make sure that we are using outcomes in our planning process, which then leads to the second goal, which would be to strengthen our planning process following the recommendations. So we need to make sure that we are ready for the 2015 visit. And then my third goal, and this one is one that I'm still wrapping my head around as a member of exec, which is we have an entire group of faculty on this campus that, and maybe not the entire group, but a large portion of a group of faculty on this campus that are feeling disenfranchised because processes have changed. And I would like to have the Senate work with this group of faculty to strengthen the role of CTE faculty and make sure that they feel that their voices are at the table. And so on a quick cursory, those would be a few things, strengthen and complete our outcomes to success. Now we've got to make sure that that's part of the way we plan. Then strengthen our planning processes to make sure everything comes together. Because we don't address these recommendations we just got that aren't formalized yet, but we've only got a year to do this work because we've got to start another self-study. And then to work with our CTE faculty, which is, again, not my strong suit at this point, but I am collecting information from everyone I can get it to learn what's actually happening with that because I am from the time.
It is a tough question, because I come back to kind of what you were saying, that it's not my job to set the goals. I agree. I need to know what goes on, but I don't think it's my job to make a decision about what we're going to do. I hear both of you, and I'm like, okay, that's over then. If you have questions about CTE, I'm on a CTE. That's a really cool thing about architecture. We've done But I think, accreditation has been a pretty big moving part of our lives. So in my imagination, I think probably that's one of the goals that the whole school has that I can read through through all the documents that I've read. I'm not on the Senate exec. I haven't been in Senate exec, so I don't know what those discussions are about, where Senate exec necessarily sees our next couple of years going. I'm assuming that there are things that we've been talking about as a Senate that are going to need to go. That can be brought through in the next year's cycle. But all I can say is I agree with what these guys are saying, that absolutely accreditation, actually. What are we doing next? How do we get ready for accreditation? Again, 2 years? Not fair.
It's only a year.
Now it's a year?
Looking together
with something. Yeah, okay. So a year from our system. What I think has to happen anywhere is our addressing communication and addressing diversity. And I agree with them again that making sure that people have voices and have not had a voice and also jumps to that too. That's why this is such a hard election, and easy too, but hard because gender is so great. And I think strengthening the Senate and making sure that the Senate feels and that the community feels that the Senate represents the community of the faculty and that it speaks to what the faculty needs and figures out somehow what the faculty voice. So I guess that's a pretty big one.
Yeah, I have a quick question. If you were to be elected academic senate president, and this goes to John and I now, could you continue your role as department chair?
Sure.
My term is up. I'm not running again. Both my terms are up, secretary and chair, and I am not running again for either. I only need one. I'm now with 100% of my effort and energy towards this job. It's a very important position. So, going to your question, no, I am not going. My name is for chair again. And in fact, our election is on Thursday.
And no, I would not continue as department chair either. And I feel like we've had a major cultural change in our department since I've become chair, where it's really inclusive department that I feel. And I've already talked to other full time faculty members about what they would do.
I have to throw something in there that is, I thought this was a brother, but I am the architecture faculty, so I always feel like I'm a chair. I may not be paid for it.
You can't give it up either.
I have to be really honest with you. I can't give it up. But I have had the past 5.5 years to really put together a program that I think is doing pretty well doesn't need me to be driving it all the time. I mean, pretty great action.
Or drive other people.
We'll just call it.
Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah. Pierce College has a pretty good reputation of being inclusive of adjuncts and involving adjuncts in lots of different areas. My question is for all three of you. How do you plan on continuing and elevating the role of adjuncts in campus-wide issues such as the mission, the activities of the Senate? How many different ways can you elevate the role and the activism of the part-timers? So it's not just the three of us who serve on the Senate. Being involved.
I don't know. Do you want to start?
Sure, why not? So one of the big things, and this comes back to what I was saying earlier, is that information is really important. Like, in order for people to really be able to make sound decisions and participate collaboratively, they need to be looking at the same information, right? You need to come to the table with the same background. And one of the things that's been missing for a couple years is actually, there used to be, it wasn't from the Senate, but there used to be a newsletter that used to go out, and I believe Monica Watson. And I would like to find a way to make sure that information that's coming to the Senate, I would like to strengthen that, how that information is distributed among everybody. And I haven't quite figured out how to do that yet, it would, but it's something that I've done quite diligently as a department chair, is to make sure that my faculty are aware of changes in policy at the state level, district level, so that we can be making informed decisions about how we schedule, what classes we actually are focusing on, how we distribute our resources across the department. I'd like to bring that to the Senate level, make sure that everybody has access to the same information regardless of what role they play in our faculty.
Well, first of all, I would like to say that I would like to recognize that type of people are all doing the Senate work. I don't believe the Senate work is limited to attending meetings or even committee meetings. I think as long as we're all working to, make our students successful, we're actually all doing Senate work. And so obviously, because of that, adjunct instructors on our campus are extremely involved in that, and that they should be recognized for the contribution that they make. I think we've done a lot of things as part of the professional committee. Professional committee effort to include our adjuncts, right, and for a time like work on that, adjunct orientation, things of that sort. I mean, those things should continue. I think they're very important to inform people and to empower people to participate. And yeah, I mean, of course, communication is important, encouraging departmental representatives to the Senate to communicate this information to the adjuncts, to everybody, right? And basically recognizing the work that the adjuncts are doing. I think that will go very far in empowering people, right?
I think adjuncts have a really rough job. And I think they don't get valued the way that they should be, frankly. And I see it, I see it in how their space is allocated, and came up earlier, Shel was talking about that, and I said in our bug groups that we're not including adjuncts in those discussions, and in our departments we don't have, my experience is that adjuncts aren't coming to those meetings, even if they are, or they're not volunteering for the missions as part of our department, coming to a department meeting, and so I think there is a problem with adjuncts feeling disenfranchised or disengaged. And I know you aren't, and I know our Senate folks aren't, and they feel really engaged, but I see that we need to start opening doors that make it more possible for people to feel disenfranchised rather than disenfranchised. And part of that is communication, is getting information out, and I miss that bulletin quite a bit, because that's how I found out a lot about what's going on campus. So I think that's part of it, but I think it's also making sure, figuring out ways that adjuncts know their value, their voices are valued, and one of those issues that come up at the Senate is, adjuncts being able to vote for Senate positions, right, for people who represent them as president. So I think we need to look at all those things to figure out how do we start to, I think that disenfranchisement has a big role to play. I mean, if we're going back and forth between if people are feeling disenfranchised, so we don't want them to have a voice because they're feeling disenfranchised, we're caught in catch-22. So I see it as looking for those ways. I don't know what they are.
Any questions?
I want to comment from the premise that all faculty members are Senate members, and any team members of the same. And there's moments in which the Senate president would have to sit down with the administration and at the same time with the AFC chapter president and make a decision that would potentially affect the campus of the moment. And in the last year or so, there's been a level of friction and the necessity also to separate the Senate from faculty, which I don't understand that particular process, because we're all AFC members, not in it. How do you intend as a Senate president to reconcile those relationships, and how do you intend to participate or be part more of the AFC body and leaders as well?
I think it comes back down to communication again. I think if we're having open and transparent conversations about what's going on, and we have clear pathways about how decisions get made, then I think that
to me, that's one of the things that, that will solve that problem, or start to solve it. That is, I mean, I don't, it's a little vague, I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about, so
right.
I'm kind of speaking from
well,
a but my guess is, my intuition tells me that that's an understanding about policy, an understanding about communication and pathways about how decisions get made, and when decisions are affecting or not affecting faculty or versus is that what you're saying? Versus the AFT?
I've seen that a lot. How you can understand the question, but they send a view sometimes themselves are separate from AFT, and I think that is it's somehow a mistake because we're all union members under them. So how do we intend to what's the path that you intend to take in the future?
I think the goals of the Senate are different than the goals of AFT, and I suppose that's where that is where.
Well, the mission statement is probably different, and that's what those things are. Well, I would like to say that I think that the Guild, the Senate, obviously we represent, different perspectives. We're focused on different aspects of the college or how things work. But ultimately, faculty interests are best served when these different bodies work cooperatively, collaboratively together. That's my view. How am I going to go about healing some of those relationships? Through respectful communication style. I like to base decisions on facts, on evidence, not on whatever interpersonal relationships might have outside of the room. And I think my style in general is, respectful, and so that's what I will bring to the table, recognizing that really we're all in it together, we all actually share the same mission. We all want the best for our students and the best for faculty. So I think that has to be our guiding force.
I feel like
there's a point in
that.
There has been some issues between the AFT body and a couple members of the Senate. And mostly my big concern has been that the Senate is the body that's codified by law. Right? We have established, and our purview is established by law, and then agreed upon by a shared governance agreement on this campus. A contract changes every 2 years. And so what my strong thing, because I know that you're asking this because you're in my conversations before, I really strongly believe that things that are in Senate purview need to remain in Senate purview because that ensures it will always remain a faculty body. In our last accreditation exit interview, the Senate got a commendation for providing leadership with rotating administration. And it's really important to me as a faculty member, and one of the reasons why I'm running, that we ensure that the things that the Senate are responsible for remain the things that the Senate is responsible for. And because that's coded in Ed Code and in Title V language, I feel that very strongly that we make sure that that business remains under the purview of the Senate. So healing those relationships would be to talk more between the AFT and the Senate as to why material and discussions should be happening in the Senate. And I agree with you that, I just deducted my AFT dues off my taxes. We are all part of AFT and we are all part of the Senate. And we need to make sure that this is a governance issue and to protect faculty purview, it needs to remain in the shared governance agreement that certain things are under a Senate. It's not a judgment call. It's making sure that when our next administration comes along, our Senate body is still responsible for the things that are important to our students and to our faculty.
Don't forget about the staff. The
faculty Senate.
It's really important that you all not forget that PCC represents everybody on this campus. And it's not just faculty. We have a large staff of clerical. We have a large staff of gardeners that keep this place running. So please recognize that shared governance is also the responsibility of the PCC.
You were correct. But I was just talking about the things that curriculum, student preparedness, and looking at our faculty purview as defined by shared governance agreement.
And historically, it was the Senate which created the PCC. Most colleges don't have such a thing.
Correct.
I have one last question.
And we could run a few minutes over, because our next meeting is in this room, and some of the folks are already here. But I believe in the last several years, the Senate has made a lot of accomplishments. And I think we've moved forward in a lot of ways. And what I'd like from each of the three of you is, what's your vision for the, your short-term vision for, say, the next year? What do you expect the Senate to accomplish?
So kind of like what Joe's list of five goals. Right? Well, just one goal, or?
No, not goals per se, but accomplishments.
Things that we should be proud of, Debbie.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
because
I'm
not all
So one of the big things with Senate is that the peer Senate is just one cog in the entire statewide governing. So our Senate actually informs our district academic senate, which then is to inform our state academic senate. And the faculty, right now, we have a lot of fingers being pointed at us by outside entities that everything that's wrong with California community colleges is because of our Senate, because we slowed down decision making. And one of the things that's really important is to make sure that we remain a driving force, because, again, like I said at the very beginning of this, it's really important. We are the people that interact with our students, and we are the people that know our community. Right? We're the ones that the students are sitting in our classrooms. We're getting to know them. We know their needs. We know their preparation. And so one of the goals I have is to make peers remain one of the driving seconds of our district, because we really are. And I would like to keep that going, because our faculty voice, we inform the other campuses on this, in this district quite a bit through our role in the district senate, which helps with informing our board and helping to keep us moving forward.
I agree, of course, that it is very important for us to be strong voice outside of the college. But I think the means to that end really is strengthening ourselves from within. In other words, what I would like to see, and I think, I mean, this is to a large degree Tom's legacy and the legacy of the previous leaders, I mean, more inclusiveness, right? Adjuncts getting on the Senate. I would like to keep that tradition going. I would like to see more diverse voices. Because I actually don't think that is, you know, an obstacle to anything. And yes, I would like to see good relationships with PCC, with the unions, with the administration, because I don't believe in the us versus them mentality. And so that's my goal. Strong participation, strong voice, through unity, and devotion to our shared goals.
I think as a faculty and the Senate, and as a college, we're entrusted with lots of money and lots of resources and permission to do a lot of things, and we have almost complete autonomy about how we do it, although I think we're experiencing shifts in that. And so I do think we value diverse voices in this community, and I hear them all the time in the Senate, and I've been very impressed at our faculty's concern and commitment to what seems like always keeping students in the forefront. And I suppose it kind of follows up what John's saying is I would like our Senate to be not just a strong force in the district, but for our voice to really start to shift things across the state. Because it's scary to me what I see the state doing. And I think we have such an amazing voice, and we have the power to be pretty articulate about what we think is right and what we think is wrong. And I worry that as our as budgets are shifting and politics are shifting, that our Senates are a little quieter than they really ought to be. And I'm hoping we can be a little noisier about the things we know are right for students to have, especially. So I guess that's my biggest goal.
And you should know that when folks from peers go to meetings, they are not quiet. And Nina and John and some folks can attest to it.
Here's
a well known.
Right.